All right, we'll say good morning. We have, Baruch Hashem, four sponsors of this morning's shir to thank the Elman family for dedicating the shir in commemoration of the yard site of Michael's grandfather, Yechiel Michal ben Aryeh Leib. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah's Nesham will have an aliyah. To thank Paul Pollack for sponsoring the shir in commemoration of the yard site of his beloved sister, Simone Pollack, Zachrini Shulamis Bas Shmuel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, and Shama will have an aliyah. To thank Mr. and Mrs. Yisrael and Leah Shapiro for dedicating the shir in commemoration of the yard site of Yisrael's father, Moshe, father-in-law. Moshe, thank you. Moshe ben Elazar Nissan HaKohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, and Shama will have an aliyah. And to thank Menashe and Bracha Efron for dedicating the shir in commemoration of the fourth yard site of Bracha's dearly missed mother, Chava Bas Avram. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, and the Sham will have an aliyah. And of course, we dedicate our learning in the Zechus of Arafuah Shleima for Tamara Dina Baskina Shulamis. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will have a complete and enduring refuah. So let's begin. We are picking up in Yerat Hashem at the two dots on Pei Amud Beis. 80B. Today's daf is Pei Aleph 81. We're picking up at the two dots. Hopefully you listened to the recording last night. I apologize, I posted it a little bit late. But you'll get to the two dots with that recording. So says the Gemara, V'chulun shomru tol es shalcha v'havei mos shomru chinam. So remember again, the Gemara said, or the Mishnah said, I should say, that whoever went ahead and said, if let's say an Uman is working on the object, and what happens? The Uman says, come and take your object and give me money. So then the Uman transitions from a Shomer Sachar to a Shomer Chinam. Whereas under normal circumstances, the Shomer ultimately again, is a paid custodian. Once he tells the owner of the object, I'm done, right? Come pick up your object. Come catch and pay me. So ultimately he becomes a Shomer Chinam. Now, Rabbi said, now this presupposes that he's essentially saying, listen, pick up your object and pay me whenever you can. I'm not going to hold the object until you pay me, but whenever you can pay me, pay me. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hasam, Amar Lo, Shoel, Shalach, Vishilcha, Umesa. Well, this is a very interesting case. So let's say, again, I'm borrowing something from someone. I'm borrowing a cow from Reuven. And what happens? I tell Reuven, send me the cow. And Reuven sends the cow, Umesa, and the cow dies en route. Chayiv. I, the borrower, am chayiv. In other words, since the owner of the animal is sending the animal because I gave him the instructions to now send the animal, therefore I assume responsibility from the time that animal began its journey towards me. The same would be true ultimately again on the time when the animal was being returned. If let's say again I'm returning the animal to Reuven, and Reuven says, okay, just send me back. Or I should say differently. If Reuven did not say send back, I'm sending back the animal of my own, meaning I'm sending the animal back. I am chayiv for whatever happens to that animal until it reaches the hands of the owner. So if Chista said that's only true when I am returning the animal earlier than the date I had to. So if I'm returning the animal earlier than the date I had to, then I bear the responsibility for the transport of the animal from my hands ultimately to the owner's hands. Well, it's actually very interesting. But if the she'ila, if the term of the borrowing already was completed, then at the end of the day, I am no longer responsible for the animal. What it sounds like over here, Rabbi said, the Gemara is saying, look at Rashi, after the duration of the she'ila, after borrowing is over, even if the animal is still in my home, Mesa Mishakala Yavim, Einot Shol Allah. I'll say, interesting enough, what Rav Chisda seems to be saying is that Lamaisa, once the term of the she'ila is over, then at the end of the day, I have finished with my she'ila responsibility. Master of Nachman Bar Papa, so Nachman Bar Papa raises a she'ila. He says, "V'kulan she'amru tola shachav avei ma'os shamrachinam." So if Nachman Bar Papa said that, I will say, in the case of the Uman in the Mishnah, as soon as the Uman says, "Come take your object and pay me my money," shomer chinam, or he automatically transitions from a shomer sachar to a shomer chinam. Top of Pei Aleph, ha gemartiv. Rabbi say, if you were to just say, let's say the Uman were to say, "I finished," just tells the owner of the object, "I finished." What would be the halacha? We could infer from that shomer sachar. The Rabbi say he's still a shomer sachar. In other words, the only reason that we say that he transitions to a shomer chinam is why? Is because at the end of the day he said, "Come and take your object." But were it just to inform the owner, "I finished," he would still remain a shomer sachar. To which the Gemara still, look at Rashi, ha gemar to shomer sachar. V'lo amrinan keva shiyadu ha'baylim shekal yimei ha'umnos v'lo shachol ve'evim pater pater ha'shomer v'gabi ha'shol nami af api shiyadu ha'baylim shekal yimei ha'shel ha'sholhu. So we don't say that just because the owner of the object knows that the uman has finished working, therefore again the uman's responsibility vis-a-vis the object has changed. It's only once the uman actually says come and take your object that the uman's responsibility vis-a-vis the object actually changes. So you see we have a tension over here. On one hand, the Gemara seems to say by a shoel, the Rechista says that once a shoel's once the she'ila, once the borrowing period is over, so the shoel no longer has responsibility for the object, even if that object, like a shoel, even if that object is still in his possession. Yet from the Mishnah, it sounds like that a uman, even once he is finished, still retains responsibility over the object up until the point that he makes an open declaration to the owner saying, come and get your stuff. To which the Gemara says, lo, not necessarily. So we'll say, in reality, when the uman says, come and take your money, and give me your money, and then take your object, shomer sachar. As we'll say, when the uman is explicit in saying, I'm only going to give you your object, when what? Once you pay me, then lemaisa, again, he's going to be a shomer sachar. Aval gimartiv, I will say, if the uman goes ahead and calls up the owner, he says, I finished the job, then, and again, I will say, implicit in that statement is what? Come pick up your object, then what? My shomer chinam. Ultimately, again, he's considered to be a shomer chinam. In other words, the duration of the umnos is considered to have run its course, and therefore he's only a shomer chinam vis-a-vis this object. Ihaki, if that's the case, adetani v'kulan sh'amru tala shalcha v'havei maus shomer chinam, then when the Mishnah said that any time an uman says, come and take your object, and pay me the money, that he's considered to be a shomer chinam, nashme'inan gemartiv. Why doesn't the Mishnah say the case of gemartiv? The case of gemartiv says when the uman calls up and says, listen, I finished. Once he says, I finished, Rabbi says, how do we interpret that statement? I finished, come and get your item, and because I'm finished, I am no longer a shomer sachar on this object, I am simply a shomer chinam. So if the Mishnah would have said that, fakol shekein, tol es shalcha, and all the more so if the Mishnah would have seen, if the Mishnah would have just told me the case of gemartiv, I could have absolutely inferred the case of tol es shalcha, to which the Gemara says, no, tol es shalcha, it's three chalei. You need the case of tol es shalcha. Rabbi says, you need the case of where the uman tells the owner, come and pick up your object. Why? Sak daitchamino shomer chinam nami lo havi. This is actually quite amazing. I might have thought that in the case of Tola Shalcha, maybe once the Uman says that, he's not even a Shomer Chinam. Maybe once he says Tola Shalcha, literally what he's saying is, I no longer have any level of responsibility for this object. Kamash Malan, no. Kamash Malan, he could change his status from a Shomer Sachar to a Shomer Chinam, but he cannot absolve himself of all responsibility. Ika da Amri, others explain, Amr Rav Nachman Bar Papa, Afanar Nami Tanina, Rachar Papa, we also learn this, V'kulan Shomru Tola Shalcha, V'havei Mos, Shomer Chinam. Anytime an uman says to the owner of the object, come pick up your object and take your money, shomer chinam. Remember again, the order over here is very important. Why? Because when he says, tala shalcha v'haveimos, what he's saying is, take your object, I'm not holding on to your object until you pay me the money. In other words, take your object and you can pay me afterwards. That becomes a shomer chinam. My love, hu adin gemartiv, is that not so that the same halacha will apply if the uman calls up and says, hey, I finished? Once he says, I finished, he is no longer a shomer sachar, he's now a shomer chinam. Lo, tala shalcha shayni. No, rather, it could just be that the halacha is only by tala shalcha. It's only about saying, in that case, where ultimately, again, he becomes a shomer chinam. In other words, that explicit statement of come, pick up your object, by definition, is the uman's way of saying, I no longer have the heightened responsibility of a shomer sachar for this object, only for a shomer chinam. Says the Gemara, huna mar bar mar, kamei ravina. Rami Masnisin Adadi Umashani. Suppose I Huna Mar, the son of Mareimar, was learning before Ravina, and he contrasted Mishnayis and or Brisos, and he's going to he contrasted contradictory Brisos, and he explained them. What do we learn? Tanan, We learned Rabbi saying, "V'chulan sh'amru tala shachava ve'mo shomer chinam." So we learned that what? Anytime an uman says, come pick up your object and give me the money, so he transitions from a shomer sachar to a shomer chinam. V'hu adin l'gimartiv. Oh, Rabbi say that is true also. If the uman said, I finished. Once he says, I finished, then what? Then by definition, his relationship with the object changes. While he was working on it, he was a shomer sachar. Now that he says, I finished it, he becomes a shomer chinam. Or minu, or raise the kasha. If the Shoel says, I'm borrowing an object from Reuven, I'm borrowing a cow, and I say to Reuven, Reuven, send me the cow, and what happens? The cow dies en route to me. Chayiv. I, the Shoel, am Chayiv. Why? Because since I assume responsibility ultimately, because since the object is being sent to me because of my instructions, therefore what? Therefore I am going to be Chayiv. V'chein b'shah shemachzira. And I will say, so too over here, when I'm returning the object to the owner, I, the shomer, returning the object, I bear responsibility for the object until it gets back ultimately again to its owner. Umeshani amarach from Bar Papa and Rav Chista. When is that true that when I'm returning the object, I, the shoel, have responsibility for the object until it reaches the hands of the owner? Lo shanu ela shehechzir b'soch yemei she'elasa. Both said that is only true if what? If I was returning it during the duration of the she'ela. In other words, I'm returning the object early. So because I'm returning the object early, it's in the course of the she'ela, during the time of the borrowing, I bear responsibility for that object until it reaches back to the hands of the owner. But if I were to go ahead and return it after the days of she'ela, once the duration of the borrowing is over, then what? Then I am no longer have the din of a she'el. So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. Ibai lehu, pater mishol v'chayev kishomer sachar, Odilma Shomer Sachar Nami Lahavi. So we'll say, let's analyze this case. What we're setting up is the following. That if I'm a Shoel, if I borrow an object, so during the duration of the She'ela, obviously I have the responsibilities of a Shoel. We'll say, and I understand, out of all the different types of Shomer, Shoel has the most heightened level of responsibility. A Shoel is Chayiv for everything. For everything. Now what the Gemara is suggesting over here, well, there's one exception. The one exception is Ba'al of Imo, which we'll discuss actually in just a little bit. If the owner is with me, if I'm the renter, I'm the borrower, the owner is with me at the time I'm doing malacha, something happens to the animal, I'm potter. Okay, we'll discuss that in greater depth. And anyway, what the Gemara is saying is the following. During the duration of the She'ela, I'm a Shoel. Once the She'ela is over, the Gemara says, I am no longer a Shoel. My relationship to the object changes. To which the Gemara asks, when we say your relationship to the object changes, what does that mean? That you're no longer a Shoel, but you are like a Shomer Sachar? O Dilma, Shomer Sachar Nami Lahavi. Or maybe not a Shomer Sachar either, maybe just a Shomer Chinom. Amra Meimar Mistabra, Patr Mishol V'chayv K'Shomer Sachar, Hoil V'nene Mahane. So ultimately, again, says Ameimar, it would appear that even though you are no longer a Shoel, you do have the status of a Shomer Sachar. Why? Since you got benefit, meaning from the she'ela, mahaneh, you are willing to go ahead and give benefit to the owner of the object by being a shomer sachar up until the time the object gets back to the hands of the owners. So the Gemara says, Tanya kavasi da meimar. We have a brace that supports meimar. We'll say, first wide line, pe aleph amad aleph. We have a brace that supports meimar. Halokeach kelu mibis umun l'shagun l'beis chan. It's an interesting case. I purchased utensils from the craftsman to send to my father-in-law's house. Now, why am I sending gifts to my father-in-law's house? Rashi says, Savlonos la'arusaso. Right? I'm in Arison, and I want to give gifts to my bride. She's living at her father's home. So I go ahead and I send these gifts to her father's home. But I make the following tonight. V'amrlo, I say, Im makablan osamimeni aninosin l'chad mehem. So as you see, I don't know if my bride is going to accept the gifts, right? Or maybe she's not going to like them, or maybe she has them already. So if she does accept the gifts, I'm going to pay you full value. Ve'im lav, and if she doesn't accept the gifts, aninosin l'chad l'fi tovas hana sheba. Now, this is interesting. So if she doesn't want the gifts, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you back, obviously, the objects, the utensils, plus I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you. What am I going to pay? I'm going to pay what's called Tovas Hanah. We'll say, Tovas Hanah means, you know, sometimes when you give someone a gift, even if they say, I have it ready, or I don't want it, or I don't need it, or I don't like it so much, there's a certain benefit that accrues just from the act of the willingness to give someone a gift. So the chassan says, listen, if it turns out that my bride or my father don't want it, that's fine. I'm going to give you back the utensils. Plus, somehow we're going to come up with some type of dollar amount for the tovas hana, for the benefit I got from being able to offer a gift to my bride and to her family. So says the Gemara. Now what happened? V'nensu b'halicha. And what happens? As the object is being transported from me or from the craftsman to my father-in-law's home, so ultimately there's an onus extenuating circumstance that occurs and the objects break. So what's talocha chayiv? Then I'm going to say, obviously, the quote-unquote conditional purchaser, am going to be chayiv. However, bechazira, when the objects ultimately, again, are coming back from my father-in-law's home, then potter. Then I'm going to say, at the end of the day, I am potter. Why? Mipnei shehu kenosei schar. Because ultimately, again, I am like a shomer socher. So we'll say, see from here, that's what? That even when one has a heightened level of responsibility for something, once that heightened level of responsibility changes, they kind of go down a notch to a shomer socher. Hahu gavra, dezabin lecham lecharib. What's another case? There was an individual who bought wine from his friend. Now this is an interesting case because they always say these are cases of conditional sales. Amarle, kamatina le leduchta ploni, imizdabna mutov, v'ilo mahadrona le nahalach. So let's listen to this. So I'm buying wine from Reuven. And I say, Reuven, here's the deal. I'm buying wine from you, but I'm buying it in order to take it to another location. I'm going to sell it in that location. If I sell it, they're great. If I can't sell it, then what? I'm going to come back and give it back to you. I'm going to refund my money. So what happened? So I go to sell the wine in City B. And what happens? I'm unable to do it. And what happens? As I'm on my way back home, ready to return the wine, an onus circumstance occurs. Something happens. The barrel breaks. The wine is gone. So it says, the obvious shaila is who's going to be chayiv. So they came before Rav Nachman. Chayve, Rav Nachman said that I, the conditional purchaser, am going to be chayv for losarim. Rav said, understand, this is an ones case. This is an ones case, extenuating circumstances. The only person who's chayv for an ones is who? Is a shoel. Right? He's the only person who's chayv. So Rav Nachman says that I am chayv. I, the conditional purchaser, am chayv for the ones. Esve Rabba Rav Nachman. But Rabba raised the question to Rav Nachman, and what did he say? Ne'ensu b'halicha chayv. Rabbi said before that what? Rabbi quotes from Nachman. He says, one second. We had the case where what, Rabbi Osai? Where if somebody was going ahead, this was the case of the father-in-law case, the savlonos, the gifts. And what did we say there? That if something happens to the objects as they're being transported to their intended location, then ultimately I am chayiv. But on the way back, meaning after again the gifts are no longer usable, then what? Then lemaisa again, I am potter. So we'll say, so too over here, if I was unable to sell the wine, and now I'm giving it back to the owner, what should be the halacha? I should be potter for own sin. Mm-hmm. To which the Gemara says, Amrlei, well, actually, I'll finish it. Chai bachu b'chazara potter b'nei shukunos yischar. Amrlei, chazara d'hai halichahi. The wine case is different. Because Rabbi said, returning the wine is the equivalent of taking it to the city to sell in the first place. How so? My taima, svaru bechaziraso ilu ashkach lizabune milo zabna. So Rabbi said, even when I'm walking home with the wine, I was unable to sell it in the city, in the intended city. So now I'm coming back home with the wine. So Rabbi said, even when I'm coming home, I still have my eyes open for what? For a purchaser as well. If somebody were to ask, could they purchase it, would I not sell it? And of course, the answer is yes. So because I am still open to a sale, therefore, again, I still have the heightened liability vis-a-vis the wine. And therefore, even if something happens, b'derech ones, to the wine extending circumstance, I'm still going to be chayiv, hence Rav Nachman's psak. Shamar li, ve'eshmar l'cha shamar sachar. So let's remember again, the Mishnah said, if I say to Reuven, watch my object, and I will watch yours. So ultimately, again, I am considered to be a paid custodian for the act. Which also makes sense. Why? Because I am receiving some type of benefit for the act of watching Reuven's object. What benefit am I receiving? I'm receiving the benefit of having him watch mine. So says the Gemara, Va'amai, but why is this? After all, Shmira B'Bailami. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. Remember what we mentioned before? We mentioned before that if you are a shawl, if you are a borrower, so one of the exceptions from liability, or one of the exemptions from liability, is ba'al of imo. So for example, if I'm going ahead and I borrow a cow from Reuven, I'm a shawl. Under normal circumstances, for sure, I'm chayiv for everything. If it's stolen, if it's lost, extenuating circumstance. So let's say I'm plowing my field, with the cow, and Reuben, the owner, is with me. The cow has a heart attack and dies. Heart attack and dies. What's talocha? Talocha is I'm potter. I'm potter. Why? Because that's ba'al avimo. The owner is with me. Again, whatever the logic is, doesn't matter. That's gzeres hakasev. So it says the Gemara the following. So the Gemara asks, why is it that if I make an arrangement with Reuven, you watch my object, I'll watch your object. So the Mishnah says, I'm a shomer sachar. But why? This is called shmira bebailimhi. Now, Bosin, I look at Rashi over just a moment. Shmira bebailimhi. Ba'alav shal chafet zeh shenigna bemalachto shal shomer haya. Shafu mishamer lo uksiv. In ba'alav imo lo yishayim. V'dashinu lekamon imo bemalachto. So listen to this. The Gemara now is advancing a very interesting interpretation of Ba'al Avimo. We normally assume that the case of Ba'al Avimo is like I just described to you. I'm plowing my field and Reuven is right there with me. Ba'al Avimo, the Gemara is now suggesting, could also mean that if I am doing something for the owner of the object, that I'm watching the object for Reuven, and Reuven is doing something for me simultaneously. Even if we are not together, that's also going to be called the Ba'al Avimo. So Ba'al Avimo means any time that there is a concurrent reciprocity unfolding, so Lamaisa, that's also considered as if the owner is with me, and therefore that should be a Patur. Therefore, says the Gemara, if I tell Reuven, you watch my object, and I'll watch your object. So why should I be a meaning, even if I say I'm a Shomer Sachar, why should I be Chayiv? At the end of the day, this is Ba'al Avimo. Right? At the end of the day, this is a case where what? The owner is quote unquote present with the shomer. And Rashi is actually suggesting that the Petor, the Gemara is suggesting, the Petor of Ba'al Avimo doesn't just apply to a shomer, but to a shoel, but it applies to all the shomerim. So if there is concurrent reciprocity unfolding, should that not be the equivalent of Ba'al Avimo, and therefore it should be Pater? No. So the case is where it's not concurrent reciprocity. The case is where I say to Reuven, I'll watch your object today, and you watch my object tomorrow. Because it's not happening at the same time, therefore, again, you can't claim a Ba'al of Imo. Tan Rabbanan. Shmar li ve'eshmar l'cha. I say to Reuven, watch my object, and I'll watch yours. Hashileni ve'ash ilcha. Lend me your object, and I'll lend you mine. Shmar li, or watch my object, ve'ash ilcha, and I'll lend you my object. Hish ilani, lend me your object, ve'eshmar l'cha, and I'll watch your object. But in all of these cases, kula nasu shomer sachar zelazeh. But in all of these cases, these people become a shomer sachar one for the other. Again, very logical, because I'm getting some kind of benefit for watching the object. Va'amai, but again, the Gemara asks, shmir b'vaylami. Bosa, again, the Gemara asks the same question. The assumption over here in these cases is that this concurrent reciprocity, should that not be the p'tur of Ba'al Avimo, to which the Gemara says, Amarei Papa, the Amarei Shemar Li Hayom Ve'eshmar L'chala Machar. All of us say the case over here is where I'm saying, you watch for me today, and I'll watch for you tomorrow. There's no concurrent reciprocity, and therefore what? No p'tur of Ba'al Avimo. Next case, story. Hano Aholoi, the Choyoma Havi Le Afi Le Chamira. So we'll say there are a bunch of these Aholon. Now what's Aholoi? It's actually interesting. Rashi says, Aholoi, it's the fourth wide line down in, Moale Oel, Shemachabsim Bo Begadim. We'll say they were soap salesmen. So these guys used to produce soap together every day. I'm sorry, I just lost the place. They used to produce soap together every day. And what happened? Havi afi le chav minayu. So we'll say, and they had a deal. When they were working, one guy from the group would bake bread for the group every day. So the group would keep working. One guy would stop working with the soap, would bake bread for them every single day. Okay. Hahu yomo amru le chav minayu. So we'll say, one day they said to one of the members of the chevra, zil ape lan, go bake bread. It's your turn today, you go bake bread. Amr lehu, so the guy says, no problem. Naturally glimoi. So we'll say, so what happens? So he says, fine, but do me a favor, watch my cloak. In other words, I'll go bake the bread, but you watch the cloak. Ad'asa pashuba ve'ignov. So we'll say, what happened? So the guys, whoever was watching, it was a poshe, it was negligent, and the cloak was stolen. Also coming to Rav Papa, they came before Rav Papa, chayvinu, and Rav Papa said the guy who was supposed to, the guy who was negligent, was chayiv. So the Gemara says, I'm really Rabbana Rav Papa, but Rabbana said to Rav Papa, why? I'm like, sheba bailini. Why would you say it's pleasurable? So this is a case of Ba'al Avimo. Remember again, if we understand that Baal of Imo is any case where what? There is concurrent reciprocity, then this is a case of concurrent reciprocity. How so? How so? Guy number one is baking the bread. Guy number two is what? Watching the cloak. So therefore, because there's concurrent reciprocity, therefore that's Baal of Imo. If that's the case, then the guy, even though he was negligent when he went ahead and he allowed the cloak to be stolen, he should still be potter. To which the Gemara says, Ichsif. So we'll say, Rav Papa was very embarrassed because he felt that he delivered a wrong psak. But yet, interestingly enough, Lesof Igoli Milsa, to Shaita Shikra Hava Kashasi. We'll say, it turned out that what? Rav Papa actually wasn't mistaken. Why? Because it turned out after he did a greater investigation that at the time that the baker was supposed to be baking, he actually was drinking beer. He was on a beer break. So what does it mean he was on a beer break? So at the time that it was stolen, there was not concurrent reciprocity. In other words, we thought the case was that when the member of the chevra who was supposed to be watching the garment was negligent, at that very same moment, the first guy was baking the bread. It was a case of concurrent reciprocity. Concurrent reciprocity is baal of imo, and therefore again, it should be potter even for the negligence. Kamashon the Gemara says the Messias was that the baker was not baking, or the guy was supposed to be baking. He was drinking beer. So therefore, it's not a case of concurrent reciprocity. Therefore, it's not baal of imo. Therefore, the one who was supposed to be watching the glima is negligent, and therefore will be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, Hanich laman dar b'sheva baalim potter. So we'll say this makes sense according to the opinion who says that even if a shomer is poshea, is negligent, but the owner is present, that's your pater. Mishum hachi ifsif, ichsif, this is why Rapapa was embarrassed, because he thought he delivered a wrong psak. Eleman tamar chayiv amai ichsif. Rabbos, according to the opinion who says that if you are a poshea, if you are negligent, even if the owner is with you, you're still going to be chayiv. Why was Rav Papa embarrassed? Rav Papa delivered a correct psak. Elahu yom alav dideho hava. Rather, we'll say, the case was the following. So we'll say, that day in which the member of the chevra was baking bread, that day was not his day. That was not actually his turn. So what happened? Rabbi said, he asked him, do us a favor, even though it's not your day to bake, do us a favor and bake today. So what happens? And he said, fine, I'll do it, but you don't have to pay me for baking an extra day, but rather just in lieu, because of I'm baking, do me a favor, I'll accept this upon myself, you accept upon yourself to go ahead and watch my cloak. Rabbi said, so therefore what? Therefore, this makes the guys who's watching the cloak into what? Into a shomer sachar. Because ultimately he's saying, you should really have to pay me, ultimately again, for my baking today, but don't pay me, just go ahead and what? Just go ahead and watch my cloak. So therefore, again, the shomer who's watching the cloak, the guy who's watching the cloak is a shomer sachar, Amud Beis. So ad da asa, igniv. So let's say, before he came back from the baking, so ultimately, again, the cloak was stolen. Then what happens? So we'll say, look at Rashi. Ad da asa igniv. Below Pshia. So really, this was not a case of Pshia. This is not a case of negligence. This is just a case, ultimately, again, where the object was stolen. All right? Remember, again, an object can be stolen even if a person takes proper precautions. So what happens? Asu l'kamei d'rat papa. Rabbi said, now we've understood this to be a case of a shomer sachar. He came before that papa. Chayvinu. And that papa said, you're chayiv. The shomer is chayiv. The shomer sachar is chayiv for the act of geneva. Because Rabbi said, that's the halacha of a shomer sachar. He is chayiv for geneva va'abeidah. But yet, the rabbis challenged Rav Papa and said, Rav Papa, how could that be? Isn't this a case of Baal of Imo? Meaning, there's concurrent reciprocity. So isn't that the Baal of Imo? Ha'ichsif. Rav Papa became embarrassed. And therefore, Lesof, Igloy Milsa, that he shaita the Sheikh Rahabashasi. Therefore, we'll say, it turned out that it was not a case of concurrent reciprocity. Why? Because Lamai said at the time that everyone thought, at the time that the object was stolen, the baker was not baking, he was drinking beer, therefore it's not concurrent reciprocity, therefore it's not Baal of Imo, and therefore again the Shomer will in fact be Chayiv.
If he was baking, would be the other
correct, if he was baking, he'd be Potter. The Shomer would be Potter. Why? Because that's the case of Baal of Imo, it's concurrent reciprocity. Hahu Beit Trey, Davu Kamaska Baruch. Let's listen to this case. There are two guys traveling, this is not a joke, this is like, there are two guys traveling. Chad Arech v'chad Gutsa. One was tall, one was short. Aricha Racha Vachamra, so let's listen to this. It sounds like one of these math problems you got in school, right, with all the different variables. So what happens? So two guys, one tall, one short. The tall guy, Aricha Racha Vachamra, the tall guy was riding on a donkey, Vahavi Le Sadina, and he had a linen cloak. Gutsa, the short guy, Michsi Sarbala, had a woolen coat. V'kamaski b'karei. And he was walking on the ground. Okay? You have the story down. Kimati l'nara. So we'll say, here's the issue. They got to a river. So shakli l'sarbele v'osve iloi chamra. So we'll say, what happened? The short guy took off his woolen cloak. Why? Because remember, wool, when it gets wet, is going to become waterlogged. It will take a very long time to dry. So what happens? The short guy takes off his woolen cloak, puts it on the donkey, b'shakli l'sadine dahu, and he takes the linen cloak of the tall guy who's riding on the donkey. And he covered himself, because it will say linen, even if it gets wet, will dry quickly. What happens? So as they're crossing through the river, shatfu amayi l'sadine. So the current washed away the linen cloak of the tall guy that was being worn by the short guy. So now, of course, the shaila is the short guy chayiv for the loss of the cloak? So they came before Rava. Chayiv. Rava said, the short guy, you're chayiv. Maybe not such a short guy. Tallness challenged guy, right? So I don't want to be PC. Right? So what happens? So short guy, you are chayiv ultimately for the loss of the tall guy's linen cloak. But says the Gemara, Amar le Rabbanan le Rava, why am I she'ela b'baylimi? I don't understand. Is this not a case of concurrent reciprocity? In other words, that they're both saying, at the end of the day, are they not both utilizing different items together? And therefore, because there is that concurrent reality over here, it should be b'alavimo, to which the Gemara says, ichsif. So Rava was embarrassed. Rava was embarrassed because he thought, at the end of the day, he paskined in the wrong way. But then I turned to Rabbi and said something amazing. L'sof igali milsa, de below daite shakle, o below daite osve. So Rabbi said, it turned out that's what? That at the end of the day, the short guy acted without permission. He took the linen cloak of, the tall guy without permission, and he put his woolen cloak on the donkey without permission as well. So because of that, there's no reciprocity that's happening over here. Because there's no reciprocity, it's clear that the short guy is chayiv for the loss of the linen cloak. Hahu gavra, do'ogir lechamer lechavrei. So we'll say there was a man who rented a donkey to his friend. And he told him, amalei, chazi lo tilzel ba'archa dinar pakod. Whatever you do, do not travel the way of the Pakod River. Because we'll say the Pakod River often overflowed, and not washouts, but okay, you know, the river overflowed and could often wash away anything that was there. So the owner says to the renter, you can rent the donkey, I know where you have to go, don't take the path of the Pakod River. Flash floods, right? Don't take the path of the Pakod River. Okay, Dikamaya, Zilba Archa Dinarash, go on the Narash Road, the Lekamaya, because there are no flash floods on the Narash Road. Fine. So we'll say what happens. The renter takes the animal on the Pakod River Road, but interestingly enough, there's no flash flood. The animal just drops dead. The animal just died of a heart attack. So what happens? Kiasa, so when the renter comes to the owner, he says, listen, Amr in Ba'orcha Dinar Pakod Azli, it's true, I'm going to be honest. I took the animal down the Pakod River Road, to be very honest. Umihu Lekamaya. But I'm also going to tell you that what? There was not a drop of water, meaning the animal died, but it had nothing to do with any kind of water from Nar Pekod. Instead, again, it just died of a heart attack. Amrli Rava, so the Shaila now, of course, becomes, is the Soker going to be Chayev or not? Amrli Rava, Ma Li L'Shaker. So Rava said, well, look, we should believe the renter. Why? Because what, meaning I will say, if he wanted a lie, Ma Li L'Shaker means that it's clear to us that he's telling the truth. Because if he wanted to lie, he could have come up with a much better story. What could he have said? We'll say he could have said that what? He could have said, I took the animal down the Narash Road. Narash River, meaning Narash Road. He's admitting that he took the animal down the Pakod River Road. No one knows that but him. If he wanted to lie, he could have just said, listen, I took it down the Narash Road and it died. But yet, what's happening over here? Yet he's saying, I took it down the Pakod River Road, and it died. So, Mali Lishaki, we should believe him, because if he wanted to, like, he'd say, come up with a much better story. Mali Lishaki, Mokum Eidon Lamin. Suppose it's actually quite interesting. Abaye says, we don't say Mali Lishaki in a place where there's Eidon. So, as we both say, if there is testimony that contradicts what a person is saying, we don't say that just because he could have come up with a better story for lying purposes, we should believe him. Well, so what does that mean? We know that there are flash floods on the Pequod River Road. And we know that more often than not, the Pequod River Road is flooded. So it's nice that he's saying that the Pequod River Road wasn't flooded. And that the animal died of some type of natural circumstances or causes, we don't believe him. Meaning there's such a chazaka that the Pequod River Road is flooded that we assume that to be the reality, even if what? Even if at the end of the day, he's saying that didn't happen. I will say, obviously, if he can produce Edim that say that it wasn't flooded, fine. But he has to produce Edos. But we're not going to take his word to go against what we know is the presumed state. The presumed state of the Pequod River Road, well, it's just the Metzias. The presumed state of the Pequod River Road was that it was flooded. That it was flooded. And the flood kills. I'm sorry? That is correct. That is correct.
But you're saying presumed state.
No, not presumed state. Correct. The Chazaka. Chazaka. Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. Your wife can't remarry when you go to work today because the assumption is you're still alive. That's, I mean, I don't need to use like an example like that. It's a dramatic example. But you understand, meaning that, but that's the halacha. Chazaka creates realities. That's absolutely it. So the chazaka ultimately is, that Lamaisa, the Pequod River Road, is flooded. That's the chazaka. Obviously, if the borrower could go ahead and produce Eidos, if he could say, listen, I was traveling on the 16th of Kislev, and the Eidim say it wasn't Enachinami, that's something different. But assuming he can't produce that, assuming he can't produce that Eidos, that's the chazaka that he's going to be chayiv. So the Mishnah stated, Shamar li va'amar lo hanach lefanai shomachinam. So we'll say, if at the end of the day, I should say, Reuven says to me, watch my object. And I say, fine, put it down in front of me. Hanach lefanai, just put it down. So the halach is, I'm accepting the responsibility as a shomer chinam, as an unpaid custodian. Amar Rav Huna, amar lo hanach lefanecha, ein lo shomer chinam, lo shomer sachar. I will say, interestingly enough, let's say I go ahead and I say to Reuven, says, can you watch my object? And I say, sure, just put it down right in front of you. I put it down, just put it down in front of you. So Rav Huna says, in that case, I don't accept upon myself to be a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar. In other words, the lashon of put it down in front of you essentially means I'm not taking responsibility for this. You take care of this object. What happens if I just say Hanach? What happens if Reuven says, can you watch my object? And I say, put it down. So what is my responsibility vis-a-vis that object? So my Tashma Shomer Liva Amar Lo Hanach Lefanai Shomer Chinam. So what says the Mishnah said, if Reuven says to me, Silber, watch my object, and I say, fine, put it down in front of me, I've accepted the responsibility as a Shomer Chinam. Hastama Velo Klum. What I can infer from that, the Bosei, is if I just say, put it down, but I don't say in front of me, then what? I'm not accepting any level of responsibility upon that. Either Rabbi, I can say just the opposite. I might have said the following. Since Rav Huna said that if I say Hanach lefanecha, Reuven, put it down in front of yourself, that's when I'm not accepting any responsibility upon myself. Hastama, if I just say put it down, Shomer Chinam Habi, I'm accepting upon myself the responsibility of ultimately what? Of being a Shomer Chinam. Elo, mehalak lemashinei. Rather, you have to say that you can't learn out the halacha from this case. To which the Gemara says, "Limekatanai." Rav said, "Let's say that at the end of the day, it's a machlokes tanaim. How so? Watch this. Im hechnis birishus." So what says, an interesting case, if I went ahead, we actually had this in Baba Kama, so I invite Reuven into my field, Reuven enters into my field, and what happens? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Im hechnis birishus, mishnehi beperek shor shenagach esapara, bekedar shechnis kederosav, b'shavan shor shabalabayis, ohechnis shoro v'nogcho shor shabalabayis. So we'll say, watch this. Someone comes into my field with permission. And what happens? Let's say again, Reuven the potter comes into the field with my permission, and my shor breaks his pots. So what's the halacha if he comes into my field with my permission, and he's damaged? Bal chotzer chayev. So we'll say, if I invite someone into my field, and then they're damaged on my property, I, the owner of the property, am chayev. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, Bekulam eino chayev ad sheyikabel alav bal habayis lishmor. Rebbe says, no, I'm not chayev until when, Rabosai? Until I accept explicit responsibility to guard the visitor from damage. Mr. Gemara says, so we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, the only time you accept responsibility for something is when, is Lamaisa if you explicitly accept responsibility. But if Reuven says to me, can you watch my object? And I say to him, sure, put it down. put it down. So we'll say put it down is not an acceptance of responsibility. Put it down just means put it down. I'm not a shomer. I'm not a shomer chinam. To which the Gemara says, Mimai, well, how can you compare the two cases? So maybe the Rabbanan say by a chatzar, even if you just invite someone in, you're totally chayef to protect them from damages. Why? Because the chatzar inherently is a place where people go for protection from outside damages. When the Bala chatzar says to the owner of the pots or to the other individual, come in, what he's saying is, ayol, the intelechal kamar, come in, because I'm willing to protect you. But we'll say, remember, this is all happening in the shuk. Reuven's saying, can you watch my object? And I say to Reuven, put it down. We'll say, a shuk is not a guarded place. When you tell someone to put it down, what am I saying? Anach vitiv natulachal kamarle. What I'm saying to Reuven is, listen, put it down and watch your object yourself. In other words, I'm not assuming any level of responsibility for this. Inam, the other possibility is, at kanlo kamar rebi hasam ele bechatero. So I'll say, ultimately again, maybe Rebbe only holds in the case of the chatzar. That's what? In order for someone to come to my chatzar, they have to have rishus. Rebbe will say, when somebody comes into my rishus, what I'm saying is, listen, enter at your own risk. I'm giving you permission to enter, but you bear the responsibility to guard yourself from being damaged. But I will say in the case over here, really what I'm saying, when I say to Reuven, put down the object, I'm saying put it down, and what? I'll watch it. Because I will say, if you think that I'm saying to Reuven, go ahead and what? Put it down and watch it yourself. Does Reuven need to get reshus from what? From me to go ahead and put down his object? So we'll say, so bottom line, interesting enough, the way we pass in Halacha Lamai says the following. That I will say, if Reuven says, watch my object, and I just say, put it down, I have taken no responsibility upon myself. I'm not a Shomer Sachar, and ultimately I'm not a Shomer Chidam. I have no responsibility. Similarly, if I go ahead and I say to Reuven, take your object, put it down in front of yourself, also no responsibility as a Shomer Sachar and a Shomer Chidam. Which, we'll say, makes sense. The only time I bear responsibility for something is when I explicitly take upon myself some level of responsibility. But a statement of put it down, especially when we're talking about over here in the shuk, in the shuk rabbin, ultimately, again, I bear no responsibility for that object. So we'll say, share with you a short idea on the parashah.